The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, super excited to be talking to Nathaniel Peterson, a pitcher in the Brewers organization. Nathaniel, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad we finally were able to get this going and stuff. I know I was talking before we hit record of the crazy Southwest issues that you were having throughout the holidays and all the craziness that came along with that, but glad we were able to get this on. Speaking of the holidays, like, how were your holidays, man?
Oh, they're pretty good. Got to see my family, even though majority of my family is down in Phoenix anyways, which is kind of a coincidence, but yeah. It was pretty good. How about yourself?
Man, it was great. Like, I ate so much food. And I tell myself, I mean, which is fine. Like, it's expected, right? But I tell myself every year, like, all right, next year I'm going to cut it back. Nah, there's no chance.
every year, it's just like, all right, I got to drop some weight before I go home.
Legitimately.
I'm just gonna eat a bunch.
Legit, dude. Like, I think I lost like 10, 15 pounds. And in my head, I'm thinking, I'm doing the math. Like, all right, if I drop 15, I can gain 5 to 10 and still be all right, you know? It's like I did that mental math.
That's kind of how I was going home, especially for like Thanksgiving, too, is the same way for me.
What is like, what's your favorite like holiday, man? I know it's not even the holidays anymore. It's January, but it's snowing here in Wisconsin. So I guess it's close enough. What's your favorite like holiday, man?
I would say probably Thanksgiving. It's just more of just like the type of atmosphere that I get to go whenever I go home. Cause I'm a huge hunter.
Okay.
And it's kind of like usually is the only time I really can go down and go hunting.
Yeah.
Because of just the way college ball was and stuff. Yep. But now that I have as much time in the off season, I'm gonna have to start playing a little bit more. But we'll figure it out.
What do you hunt for? And I don't hunt, but I've talked to so many guys who have. Like, I need to get into it. But what do you hunt?
Specifically deer.
Okay.
I'm a huge deer hunter. That's what I love doing. I'll go to my grandpa's farm or grandpa's property and go out there with me and my grandpa. Hopefully, my dad comes out sometime, but he never really does. But
is he not a big hunter?
Not really. He says he likes it, but I got it from my grandpa. That's where all my hunting came from.
Cool. Are you a bow hunter or like rifle?
Rifle.
Okay.
Rifle. I've tried bow hunting. I got to still get better at it.
Yeah. I've never gone. And like, I live in the Midwest now and I say this all the time. Like, I'm going to start hunting. It's on my bucket list to do. Cause I like literally like all around me, I live by hunters, but, it's on the bucket list.
Yeah, I like grouse hunting too. So if that's something like grouse hunting is pretty fun if you go up there. Where do you live in the Midwest? Like
Wisconsin. So I'm not too far from Appleton, where hopefully you'll be here within the next year or so for high A. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's here in Wisconsin. That's a great place to be for hunting, especially.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And if, like I said, I'm here not too far from Appleton. Once you get over here, hopefully sooner than later. Definitely we'll have to chop it up in person sometime. Like I said, I go out there all the time, not too far, about an hour, 10 so minutes. But let's get into your story, man. Nate Peterson, like you drafted in the 8th round by the Milwaukee Brewers. That's good. You tell me, like, where does your baseball story start? Cause I mean, I'm looking at your high school stats, dude. And like number 6 overall in Minnesota, number 1 pitcher in the state. Where does your story begin?
Well, my story began, I mean, it started a long time ago, but in high school wise, I didn't really know that baseball was going to be my thing until about sophomore year. And it was just kind of one of those things that all of a sudden, like I went to one of those PBR events my sophomore year, and I've never been gunned before that. I never knew how hard I threw, never really was interested.
Yeah.
And then I went to one with MASH Baseball Club, the one that I grew up playing for, and next thing you know, I was 84, 85.
Jeez.
And my coach was like, yeah, you might, like you told my dad, you might have to start thinking, taking baseball a little more seriously because your son's got a chance.
At that point, were you not taking it too seriously? Like, was it just something you did for fun?
No, it was more of like my family. Like, I loved baseball. Mm-hmm. I took it seriously, like personally, I did. But it just wasn't really like my family wasn't really like my mom, especially. I remember her, like, I had my first college recruitment. My mom goes, "Oh, wow, this is actually happening." And I'm like, "Yeah, mom, I'm going to college for baseball."
Yeah.
Baseball. Like, you got to start getting that in your head. And so it was like since sophomore year, and then I made it a goal of mine to go to a school, a dream school. And mm-hmm. I just kept pushing myself. I kept going. And I think it was like junior year when I had another velo jump, and I was like 87 to 90. And I was just throwing really well. But high school ball mm-hmm. was kind of a weird ride for me.
Interesting. Why is that?
Summer ball, not so much, but like the varsity side of things, because my junior year I was a reliever.
Okay.
And I was one of the harder throwers on the team. And I didn't really, obviously I was told like I'm not quite ready yet for varsity, but I thought I was there. I thought I was ready, but I was a starting first baseman. And on varsity since sophomore year.
Did you like first base better than pitching, or was pitching like your thing?
Pitching was my thing. Okay. I knew I was good at it. My summer coach kept telling me, like, you're not going to be hitting much longer. You're going to be pitching more than you are going to be hitting. And I just kept telling him, like, we'll see.
Yep, yep.
And I hit pretty well in my junior year and kind of solidified myself as a starting first baseman. But I really wanted to be a starting pitcher because relieving is just – I liked it. I mean, I did it in college too, but I was just like, it's just not, I don't get to be me in mm-hmm. a sense. It's just not what I like to do as much. Obviously it's still pitching and I love it. But then it wasn't until my senior year that I had another kind of just like I got stronger, got better over the off season. And then before my senior year started, that's when my dream school reached out to me and I went to their camp, which was Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. and I had other schools recruiting me, and I had help from a bunch of family, bunch of guys that were helping me with the whole recruiting process, mm-hmm. and that's when, like, I wanted to go to Oklahoma State really bad, because that takes me way back before sophomore year, when my grandpa used to just talk to me all the time about Oklahoma State, and how great it was, and my family, like my uncle, my aunt, my grandpa, I think there's my uncle's brothers, all went to Oklahoma State.
So you're just like a legacy
there.
They
stepped foot on that campus. It's just like, it's just like one of those things where my family went there and they bled orange. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, well, that's going to be my dream school. And it was a college town, and that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. It was a college town, get that college experience.
Yep, yep.
And I obviously fell in love with the campus. I loved the campus and it was awesome. But my senior year, right before it started, I got my opportunity when I went to one of their camps, and I told my grandpa, my family were all happy. My dad was super happy. Like, I was getting my dream school, and I was in Cloud Nine that day. And, but then my senior year came along for high school varsity, and Oklahoma State, when I committed there, it kind of, I don't know if it surprised people in a sense, because I never really talked about my recruitment at all to anybody. The only people that really knew were my club teams and then my close friends around me. And then obviously my family. But I never really talked about it with the high school team or my high school coach even, because we didn't really have a close bond quite yet. And then my senior year came along and we went down to Florida and we played in ESPN.
Oh, nice.
The ESPN Stadium.
Yeah.
And then we played in the Disney World area.
Yep. The Rays are really going to be there for spring training. The Rays got that spot because of the Hurricanes and stuff. But it's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's what I was just training with another Rays guy. He said the Rays are going to be down there.
Who do you train with?
His name's Austin.
Austin what?
He was with me.
Vernon?
Crap. He's from North Carolina.
Okay, so it's not Austin Vernon. Is he a really, North really, Carolina or really South tall Carolina. Guy? Like super tall,
yes,
long
he's
hair?
Really, really tall.
That's my guy.
Yeah. He was there. He was just with me for a week, and we were just training because he's in town. I think he was with his girlfriend. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But he told me about that Rays are going to be out there, and I heard like the whole stuff. But We went down there for the trip. It was just like a high school, kind of like a bonding trip. And I went out there and I pitched extremely well. And I all of a sudden, I was like low nines.
Wow.
And velocity wise. And the coach is like, yeah, you're going to be like, hey, we had a coach's meeting before the year. And he's like, yeah, you're going to be our number one.
That's crazy. What was that kind of
like? Originally, I was going to be the two or three. And then he's like, say that again.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. But I was what was that emotion like? Or like, what was the mental switch for you switching from like being a reliever? Now you're being like the number one guy on a team that was pitching really well and your team was doing really well.
It wasn't really a much of a mental switch because I wanted it so bad. I envisioned it in myself. It was just more of like, wow, it's happening. Here it is. Because like once I committed to Oklahoma State, I knew there was going to be a lot of expecting from me. Not only when I get to Oklahoma State, but on the team as a high school player. Because I also had another guy that was committed to TCU, who's our catcher. Hmm. And so we were kind of like they call us the Big 12 battery in Minnesota. Yeah. And it was kind of a cool thing that he was really good. And then, obviously I thought myself as pretty good, but yeah. We had a really good high school team going into my senior year. And I was determined to win state that year and it didn't pan out. We got to the quarterfinals and, mm-hmm. It just didn't work out. Really bad call on the umpires. Don't get me into that one. But it was just weird ending. But along the way, I built a lot of like a really strong relationship with my high school coach because he kind of opened me up as a player because I was quiet. I wasn't necessarily quiet. I talked and stuff like that. But he told me I could be myself. And once that was able to happen, next thing you know, I started pitching. Like everything was every Monday, it was my day, or if we had a game Tuesday, and I just started pitching super well. I just remember the 20K game that I had, and then the following week after that, I almost had another one.
How many and Ks? Then it just kept in that going. One?
I had 15 in five innings, jeez. And they pulled me because of pitch count, because of the high school pitch count, and I was just like. It was just like one of those moments where it just felt unreal.
Yeah.
That this is the opportunity, all the hard work kind of paid off. But then everything changed once obviously I got to college. Like I was going off to college. They send us to the summer bridge. Like the early freshmen show up for the summer program. A lot of colleges do that. And I liked it. I mean, I loved OSU. There was nothing wrong with that place and everything about it was awesome. But I got along freshman year was like nothing more than I can expect. We were a really good team my freshman year. I learned a lot from a lot of my peers around me and a lot of the teammates. I just remember one of the teammates, Trevor Boone, he actually, like, I remember him saying like, I'm not a leader. So don't ask me for questions or anything. I just lead by example. So wow. I'm like, okay. And I was a little confused at what he meant. And then watching him play, you can see what he meant.
It's crazy.
He just played with some chip on his shoulder. And I kind of learned that there was different types of ways to showing leadership that was interesting to see. But it was cool that my freshman year, the seniors did a very good job of bringing us the younger ones under their wings. And I learned a lot. And pitching coach Rob Walton, I learned a lot. And under the head coach of Josh Holiday, there was just so much experience coming from. And then plus Matt Holiday being there, there's just a lot of information being shot at me my freshman year, which was awesome. I mean, I just kind of soaked it all in and we went to a super regional. Yeah. We won the Big 12 tournament. Like it was just a freshman year that like, wow, this is surreal.
That's crazy.
But what was really, really cool about my freshman year was actually playing for the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, sick. Okay.
When I went down there. Yeah. I went down there right after my freshman year. And I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah,
because one of the assistant coaches, he used to be there, told me, he goes, "Do you like playing in front of 7,500 fans?" And I was like, "Who wouldn't?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Do you like dancing in front of 7,500 people?" And I'm like, "What do you mean dancing?" And he's like, "You're going to be dancing." I'm like, "At a baseball game? What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're going to be pitching and you're going to be dancing and you're going to be going up in stands. You're going to be involved."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I had no idea what I was expecting when I went in there, but based off all the people, like one of the players actually played there the year before that. He said he said I was going to love it.
Okay.
And he was right. I loved it. It was definitely different, but it was awesome how they tried, at least in 2019, they kept the baseball game, They kept all the dancing stuff on the side, but it was awesome to see how many fans, like I met somebody from Europe.
Wow.
And I was like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we know of Savannah Bananas all the way over there. And I'm like, this is, it was cool. I mean, you know how far they've come.
Oh, yeah.
It was a cool experience. But coming back from my sophomore year,
what was your favorite?
Because I started at Savannah.
Like, what was your favorite Savannah Banana moment? Because I've talked to guys who played on the team before they went full like bananas, and they were talking about had different experiences, dancing, choreographed dancing. What was your favorite moment? Because obviously they have so much cool stuff there.
There was quite a bit of favorite moments on and off the field. Like dancing was actually, I was terrible at dancing. It was not good at all. But I danced in majority of the home games just because I knew that it was just part of the, just the Savannah world.
Yeah.
And I just knew that part of it, nobody else was going to do it. And I was kind of like, you know what? I'll do it. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And, they got the name Dancing King. They put it on the Twitter and I was like, oh, I don't know if you'd call me Dancing
King. They called you the Dancing King?
I danced a little. Yeah. They put it on their Twitter, like Dancing King Nate Peterson. And I'm like, what? I was a little confused. I was like, I don't remember ever being called that when I was there, but it's probably because I dance in almost every single game with another kid too. That was from Kentucky, Alec, I think it was named, or Alex Deegan. Yeah. And he was kind of, he kind of brought out my, like I did in high school where I just can be myself. And I pitched really well because of it at Savannah. Cause I remember I had, I think me and this other lefty, I think it was like 23 straight or 24 straight inning scoreless. I think it was
you mentioned a couple of times really
well, and I started
go ahead.
I started in Savannah towards the end of the year too, so it was kind of like a bunch of different roles I was able to learn. But go ahead, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, you mentioned a couple of times about finding yourself, especially in high school, or being yourself, I guess. You talk about being yourself in high school, your coach allowed you to be yourself in high school, and you started to thrive, and then you could be yourself with the Savannah Bananas. What does that mean to you? Like being yourself, like, were you at some point thinking like you had to perform a different way, or like, what was that, what does that all entail? Cause that's interesting to me.
It's, to me, it's very important as a player to not, like, obviously it's a, it's just a game when it comes down to the end of the day.
Right.
And for me to be the for most players, I feel like to be successful is to be in an atmosphere where they can be themselves. And that's meaning of where if they want to yell on the mound after a strikeout and really let that person know that you just struck out, do it. Like, nobody's going to judge you for it. Do it. If you want to bat flip respectfully, but if you want to bat flip and be, have that swag walking in the back, bat flip on a home run, do it. If that makes you perform better, do it. Obviously you got to have certain boundaries that you don't push it so far that you disrespect the other team. But, or if you want to dance in the end of the dugout and get it, like, do whatever you can to make the game fun and smile. And like there's players that I can name all over the place. Like, I've played with and seen on TV that when they smile, that's why they're the best player in the game. I mean, easiest example is Mike Trout. He's always smiling. And it's just like, it's because he can be himself. And then that's, I'm a big believer that if you can be yourself and you're not in an atmosphere where you always have to feel like it's just like a drill sergeant type thing, then the game is just opens up different opportunities for you. And that's like kind of what happened at OSU, is just everything kind of, I got hard on myself because coming into my sophomore year, they told me I had an opportunity to start and I was really excited for it. But things just kept changing for me. Like, they changed my arm slot and I'm not really, wasn't really sure why they did, but I wasn't going to disagree with them. And it's just kind of like, when they say you need to do something, you need to do something. They're your coach. And then by the end of the day, it's your career. That's what I realized later on. And I was like, I'm like, I didn't necessarily drop my arm significantly, but they had me thrown across my body and I wasn't really a fan of it. And I had, it didn't really have a good fall my sophomore year. I mean, I was kind of getting hit around a lot.
Do you think that has to do with...
I didn't like it.
Yeah, do you think that has to do with something along the lines of them telling you to change? Maybe you weren't fully on board, or maybe you were just learning how to pitch a different way, and that just kind of derailed your whole season or year?
Yeah, it just kind of like... It kind of felt like something where, like, I didn't take control in time. Mm. It's just one of those things where it's like a learning experience where I'm like, okay, well, maybe if I would have said I disagree with it, maybe I would have pitched a little bit differently in the fall, sure, and things would have been differently. Because it came in spring. It's like when I came back from the winter break, I just went back to where I was at, like coming back from Savannah, mm-hmm, and I pitched pretty well in the spring. Like, I was like, all right, let's go. Like,
yeah,
let's get this going. Like, I'm back to where I was at. My velocity was back up.
And how then hard they were told you me throwing that then? I had
a probably 90, 92, okay. 89, 92. But when they dropped my arm slot, I was like 88 consistently, but I had a little bit of sink. So I was like, maybe that will get outs, but didn't. And I had a really hard time with my changeup too. And that's probably why they dropped my slot. Mm. Because I could not figure out the changeup. They also gave me had me learn a 12-6 when I first got to college too. I liked that pitch, so I didn't really complain because it was good. But I just remember velocity just kept fluctuating that whole sophomore year in the fall, and I was getting real frustrated. And then when sophomore year came around, they told me that I was a lefty out of the pen, and I was like, okay, just like my freshman year, I had no problem with it. And they said I had a chance to start in a midweek, so I would get my opportunity. So I was just going to wait. Obviously in my head, I was like, well, I didn't do so well because they had me as a starter in the fall. But since I didn't pitch very well in the fall, I can understand why they were going lefty out of the pen. I pitched against Arkansas, in the fall too. And I pitched pretty well actually against them. And then against Vanderbilt when we did the Arkansas-Vanderbilt fall matchup that we like to do every year that they did. And we like, then I kind of like the opportunities kind of fell apart when COVID hit.
Oh, sure.
COVID all came in and everything just kind of like, it happened so fast. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know how to explain it. Like, I remember walking out, I think it was Thursday. I think it was that it was the first day of the news. And I was super excited for the series because we were just about to start playing at O'Bright Stadium. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, this is going to be sick. We're going to get tons of fans. Like, at that point, I didn't care if I was going to play or not. I was just happy to be there.
In the environment.
And in the environment. It's just, and my family were all coming and we're playing. I was super excited. And then the coach pulled us up like right before practice and goes, guys, we're going home. We're going home. Dang. And we're like, what? Like, we thought he was joking with us just to give us an off day before the series. And he goes, no, like, did you guys see the news? And then we checked off, all of us went in and checked our phones and they're like, yeah, games are being canceled, places are being closed. Wow. And I'm like, whoa, this is happening fast. And then not 30 minutes later, NCAA cancels the World Series and March Madness. And everything just happened quick. And they said it's supposed to be 2 weeks. Next thing you know, it was, what, a year and a half? Dude,
that's crazy how everyone's like, it's going to be a couple weeks, we'll get things back. And then it's like, even now, like 2-3 years later, it's like still, you know, I mean, it's not as big, but like it's crazy that it's seems like the last 3 years have completely just flown by, you know.
Oh yeah, I got, it's, what is it, 2023 now? It's already been, it's almost crazy, 3 years since it.
I'm like, wow, in March you'll be 3 years.
But that was like a blessing in disguise. The whole COVID thing, it sucked. The opportunity at Oklahoma State was already at its last ends, I felt like, but I was still determined because my dad kept pushing me and I love him for it. But at the same time, I was like, all right. Because he just did not like, that's when I started thinking about the transfer process.
Yeah.
And, because I just really, really wanted to start. I wanted it really bad and I wanted the opportunity to show myself so I could see if I could get to the next level.
Yeah.
And more I realized that relieving is just putting me in the background and I just didn't want to be there.
While you were at Oklahoma though, like while you're at Oklahoma, before we talk about your other college, how was the football there? Because obviously it's a huge, like they have a really good team. And I don't know how they were the year you were there, but like did coach let you guys go to tailgates or did he guys have you practicing in the mornings?
Yeah, he let us go to tailgates my freshman year.
Okay.
and somewhat my sophomore year. The football atmosphere there is insane.
It's bananas.
COVID didn't even stop it the following year. Obviously the stadium count was a little bit down, but it was still crazy. I couldn't ask for a better school to go to for a football atmosphere, especially it's just pure sport there. Mm-hmm. Like their facilities on every aspect of everything was good.
Yeah. And their head coach is just electric. Or he was when he was
there. Gundy.
Yeah.
Gundy.
Oh yeah.
The whole mullet that he does, that he rocks. Yep. I didn't see him do it this year. That's it kind of threw me off a little bit when I didn't see a mullet on him. But I'm still a huge OSU football fan. Yeah. I like watching them. I just like the way they do things there. And it's just one of those things that gave me chills still today is their intro. And I'm just like, wow, this is pretty cool, especially as a freshman. Mm-hmm. Just there. It's just a big stadium. Because I never been to their football game before I was there. I've been to their basketball game because my grandpa took me, but I've never been – and a wrestling match, actually. Their wrestling matches are crazy.
Nice.
Because they're one of the top – they're top three in the nation every year for it. So
okay.
But I was never to a football game. I always watched it on TV, but just never been there. But then I was there, and I was like, wow, this is cool. Pretty cool. The tailgating's fun. The people are nice, especially the rivalries, the OU and OSU rivalry.
How was
the
game?
Bedlam game. That's fun. That even though we lost my sophomore year, I mean, not lost, we kind of got
blown out,
stomped on, but it was still fun. But the Bedlam series too, like when I was there for baseball, it was still really cool.
Is there the same rivalry for football as there is for baseball? Like same teams, same rivalries on the football baseball side?
Yeah. We still have the Bedlam, and then they have the Red River rivalry too in Texas OU. Mm-hmm. Both OSU and OU in agreement that we did not like Texas at all.
Oh yeah.
Like we had our own little feuds and stuff, but we did not like Texas. Like, it's just the way it was.
So did you guys is that maybe your favorite team to play against where you're just like, all right, fans are a little extra chirpy. I just want to shove and make sure we're just dominating these guys.
Yeah, that's kind of when we played Texas, we wanted it. We swept it my freshman year.
Oh, nice.
And that was huge. And then OU, same thing. We beat them. And then TCU, we beat them. My freshman year, we were really, really good.
Yeah.
And we were number 9 in rankings, I think, going into the offseason when we shouldn't have been, or not offseason, playoffs.
Yeah.
Or NCAA tournament. And we shouldn't have been, but. Yeah. That's kind of what we got ranked because we won the Big 12 tournament and we thought we were going to get ranked least number 7 or 6. And no, we got put at 9 and we paired against Texas Tech in the Super Regional. And that was a battle that I'll never forget. That Super Regional was crazy. Talk about fans that get rowdy. Yeah. Texas Tech fans get pretty rowdy.
Were they super chirpy?
Some respectful ones, but Oh, yeah. They would really chirp, but out of all the Texas teams that had the best chirps is actually none of the ones in the Big 12. It's the ones down way south is Texas or Grand Valley.
Really? What were some of the ones they would say?
That was my first weekend chirp series. Funniest chirp? They called our pitching coach, Colonel Sanders, when he was walking off the mound. And they were yelling cha-cha-cha-chia to our trainer
because
he had a buzz cut. And they chirped me too, and because I came in for one of the games and I was a lefty specialist at the time, and I threw I think 4 pitches or something like that, and then the guy came after me, picked off to first more than I threw to home, and they were like, "Hey, 44, you threw more pitches over to first than you did to home," and I was like, "Oh, thanks." I was like, "This is my freshman year. It was my first series ever, as a freshman, and that's what it was." And there was 3 guys always right behind our dugout saying the same things, not necessarily the same things, but there's some other stuff that they said that I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah. Those fans are pretty,
they were
they
funny.
Can be
they were funny,
too,
so I couldn't really complain because a lot of them were pretty funny.
That's true. Okay, so let's get back into your college stuff. Obviously, you transferred to Illinois Chicago. You go to what was that process like? Why did you pick them? Were there other schools that you were interested in? And maybe what were some of the biggest differences?
In the whole transferring process, as soon as I entered the transferring portal, the first week they're one of the first schools that reached out to mm-hmm. me, and they recruited me in high school too.
Okay.
But I just didn't have as much interest in as them in high school because I was young, looking for a big school and dream mm-hmm. school and stuff like that. But at that point in my junior year, I was looking for an opportunity.
Sure.
And I was looking for a new home and a, kind of like a family atmosphere. And UIC fit all those categories mm-hmm. when I first went, like, as I kind of thought about it further and further and further, because I was going to go to down to Angelo State. I think that's what they call it, ASU down in Texas. I think it's Angelo State. I don't remember.
I'm not too sure.
Or West Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I was probably going to go there. There are two really good D2s, and I was kind of like, okay, like maybe I can get my opportunity there. But then I got wind that just my size and just the competition isn't the same D1, D2. Mm-hmm. Like D2s can tell you all they want that they can beat D1s. And there are some really good D2s that mm-hmm. probably can. And it's not that. It's just their conference and how consistent and how good it is and pitching against them. So I was looking for an opportunity to get to the next level, but at the same time, help a team out and get to an NCAA tournament. And I mean, I remember talking to UCF. I remember talking to University of Minnesota. I remember who else was there was a few other teams. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to any other teams, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, I had a whole bunch of D2s and some JUCOs, but I knew I wasn't going to go to the JUCO route because I was a junior. And I was like, yeah, it's probably not a good idea. But I was technically a sophomore eligibility wise mm-hmm. Because of the COVID.
Right.
And then I redshirted my junior year.
Oh, okay.
Because coming into that junior year, I lost a bunch of weight. And then my velo was like 88, 89 again. But I lost a lot of weight because I just didn't feel like I was athletic enough anymore. So that was kind of leading into the process of the transfer. Mm. But that, like, I think it was like 5 or 6 week span where like 1 week I was 90, 91, next week I was 92, 93. And then it was like 93, 94. And then I just kept bumping up. And then that's because I got stronger after I dropped all that weight. But then UIC saw that and they were one of the only schools that just kept like giving me time, mm. but they kept like reiterating things and telling me like the opportunity that I was going to have there. And they, one of the only schools that saw me as the Friday night guy.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, that could be an opportunity.
Yeah.
So my summer coach played there, back in like 2012, I think it was his graduation year. That's where he played, and he was a center fielder there, and he played there. I don't remember how many years, 4 years, I think it was. But also the head coach Mac, because the other head coach resigned, but then Mac took over, played junior college with my high school coach. So there was two connections there that I one connection I wasn't even aware of, but mm-hmm. Steve I knew.
Yeah.
And I talked to Steve for a while and he's like, hey man, like I know it's Chicago and it's like not really like it's completely different from Stillwater. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you're gonna like it, but terms of teams and the way they run things there, they're a blue collar team and they're going to give you an opportunity and you'll probably learn some things there that you probably haven't learned yet. I'm like, all right. And I gave him a shot. And as soon as I stepped foot on that campus, I've never felt so welcome.
It's awesome.
I wasn't treated any different than anybody else. I wasn't treated like a Power 5 transfer coming in. I was treated like a normal player, a normal teammate. And I built probably the closest friends I've had and since being in college, because I have my close friends from high school, but since being in college, I built a whole bunch of close friends there. And I mean, it was a pretty cool experience. I mean, we challenged ourselves in the off season. That's one big reason why I chose mm-hmm. them too, is because their preseason schedule was like always top notch. I mean, they played Vandy, they played Tennessee, oh, wow. they played like last year we played Arkansas. We could have beat them two games. Like I could say could have, but we could have beat them two games because we were down there for a 4-game series and it snowed when we were down there. So it made the whole schedule messed up. But I was supposed to pitch Friday and I got bumped up to Thursday and things were just all weirded out there. But no, like they competed. Like I can just see it that we were playing for the guy next to us. Mm-hmm. Like I can just see how much different there was. No, well, I was the number 50 player in the state. It was like, no, we came here to play hard and we're going to work hard and we're going to outplay somebody else, because they were one of the, my favorite phrases is like, they may be the best on paper, but are they the best today?
Ooh, that's
good. And that's what we live by. And then we always said, what was the one thing? Oh, we didn't like saying, so what? Our coach did not like that. Like, so what? And like, he just hated it. Like, he's like, it is so what? Like, it is so what? It makes him, like, he thinks it made us get into a different mindset. So he just kind of just said something. Like, I don't remember a phrase. I don't know why I remember, because there were so many of them that we lived by. Chicago tough. He was always just saying Chicago tough, saying all that stuff. That's why we wore the baby blues, because he's like, that's Chicago's color. And it's Chicago tough. And kept reiterating it with us. And we all lived by it. But, I mean, the team was just a different experience for me than I was at OSU. Like, everybody was playing for the man next to each other. I mean, OSU was like that my freshman year and sophomore year and stuff like that. But COVID kind of fringed things with the bigger roster and stuff. And I liked most of the guys on the team at OSU. But it's just, maybe it was different for me because I just wasn't getting any opportunity there.
What was the biggest thing you learned in college? Like, maybe the biggest thing you can take back or pass on to a younger guy heading into college? Like, what was that big, maybe one lesson you've learned?
Take control of what you can control and the things that you can't control, let go. Meaning that if you see an opportunity in front of you, don't hesitate to reach it, because then it can turn into something out of your control. And then you can go, what if? Okay. And that's one thing that I was very happy that I did, is that I saw an opportunity in front of me, and the transfer looked bad. Like, my dad was treating it as a bad thing, but I saw it as an opportunity for me to go somewhere else and get an opportunity to get to the next level and help another team out. But just like, my biggest thing for me is that a lot of times, like, even in, when I'm on the mound, sometimes I get frustrated with things that I can't control. And this year, especially with UIC, it was kind of like a mental, like, they have a mental coach there to help you. Like, you can talk to him whenever you need to, but he taught me just kind of like the best way to get yourself out of the state of like getting frustrated of a blooper or frustrated at a bad call from an umpire is not necessarily breathe. It's not necessarily do that. It's just realize that you can't control it. So why get frustrated over it? So get frustrated at something else that you could have controlled. And now execute that better.
Yeah.
So like a pitch, like if you missed your spot and he hammers a ball, then you can get frustrated at that and then fix the next pitch. Don't get mad at the fact that you didn't miss your spot and he hammered it. So there's nothing you can do about that. You executed your pitch. So like, that's what he told me, to just control the controllables, and the uncontrollables, just let go.
Yeah. It's crazy how, no, not crazy, but it's so wild how important the mental side is to baseball players. Cause it's such a huge thing. Because there's been such good players who, because of the mental side, they couldn't handle it. They, you know, they maybe faltered or didn't go as far as they could have gone. But it's really important, like, the mental side of baseball, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My dad kept reiterating to me, and even coaches, it's 90% mental, 10% physical, and it's a tough game. It can get under people's skins and stuff, but the people that stick it out the longest are the ones that get their opportunity, and they realize that it's a game of failure. Like, once you realize that, then there's no stopping you.
And you got your opportunity, bro. Like I said, like, you got drafted, I think, what, eighth round by the Brewers. At what point did you realize, like, oh man, this is happening? Because, like, and then you said your dad was kind of like, is this the right move to do? Obviously it is, because it worked for you. But when did you realize like the draft was a thing?
I realized it, that the draft opportunity, and my dad kind of realized that my choice was smart. I got on campus at UIC. I pitched really well over the summer because I played for the St. Cloud Rocks, and they gave me a starting opportunity, and I pitched in that showcase. It was the Northwoods Pro Showcase stuff that they do every year.
Yeah.
And I pitched really well. I mean, my velo was good. Everything was good. And I got talked to by some scouts, and I kind of realized, I'm like, okay, maybe the opportunity is starting to wake up. And then I remember Mac calling me as I was driving to campus. I literally went from summer ball. I wasn't home for a 9-month period at a time at one point, because I went straight from summer ball, didn't go home. I went straight from all the way there, all the way to campus. And I moved in from my house family to my campus. And, And I just remember him calling me and going like, "Hey, like I just had five people call me about you. Like,
oh wow,
you have a chance, and like I'm super excited for you to come to campus." And he wasn't being specific of me who called mm-hmm. me. Like, he just didn't want me to get all yeah. like that. But then I kind of realized that the more and more as the year went on, towards the end of the year, I was having like at home visits, but it was more of like in the locker room. I was mm-hmm. visiting with scouts and Zoom calls and stuff. And that's when like I called my dad. I'm like, "Dad, the reality is that I'm getting drafted. Like, there's a really, really high chance that I'm going to."
Yeah.
And he's like, "What makes you say that?" And I sent him the MLB link and I showed him what it is. And he's like, "You have 22 different teams interested in you?" I'm like, "Yes." And he's like, "So cool. Okay, yeah, you're gonna have to start thinking about the draft process now." And I'm like, "Yes, I know." And that's when I had to start thinking about agent, mm-hmm. if I need one. And it was just a whole process. And but once that realization came true, I mean, I remember him saying that, like, "You made the right choice, and I'm super proud." Like, he told me that he was happy that I mm-hmm.
Hold on here. Let me put you back in.
That process came out.
There you are. Sorry, you had cut it out. You had cut out. So I'm just gonna. Can you say that last couple of things?
Whenever I realized that the draft process was there, I just remember Flood and Mac kind of talking to me about it. And they said that you're not coming back next year. Like, oh, they wow. told me that straight yeah. to my face about, I think it was like a week before the season started. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "We don't expect you to come back this year." Wow. And I'm like, "Why do you say that?" And he goes, just based off all the stuff that scouts have been saying about you yeah. and just the stuff that we've seen mm-hmm. and how much, like, I improved a lot when I was at UIC, like my changeup. Like, over the summer, it got better, but the changeup just got really, really good. And then just the pure command, how much I focused on that, because I thought I had a walking issue mm-hmm. and that was holding me back. But I turned out to, it wasn't necessarily that much, because I only had 20 walks in this last season and was it 89 innings pitched. So I felt like that was a huge jump with 105 strikeouts like that, or 102. That was something I'm still very proud of, that yeah. I was able to do that. But that's when I went off in the summer and I was at home for like a month. I didn't really do anything because the agency that I was with told me like I didn't need to do anything. I already did enough.
Yeah.
But the draft was so late. It was kind of a weird process. But that's when I knew that opportunity was like, I kept, like, just God, I'm like, when is it gonna happen? Like, I'm super excited. Like, mm-hmm. I want this to happen. I'm down at one point because I was already accepted it, and I've already realized that I'm gonna try to stay humble as possible, because I don't want to be that person that just rubs it in everybody's face. Yeah. And I've always, like, my dad's always taught me that, like, just be humble. Like, sure. Don't big league anybody. But that's just kind of one of those things where, like, I remember the day of draft day, I've never seen my mom ever get antsy about anything. Never. She's always been the calm person. And then that day, whenever I got a phone call, she's like, "Nate, your phone's ringing." I'm like, "Mom, it's grandma." Like, she's on her way over. And she's like, "Oh," and I'm like, "You need to calm down." And she's like, "Oh, well, you just, like, got to be by your phone." I'm like, "Mom, and the draft hasn't even started yet." She's like, It was kind of a cool thing to see my mom, my dad, and all that kind of stuff. But the draft day was nuts. But it was like a dream come true that day that came. Like, it was almost like a few weeks before that too. I was almost like, "Is this actually happening? Mm-hmm. Am I dreaming?" But because I just dreamt of that day, and when it came to, it was just like, looking back through the journey I went through in college and even high school, it was like it all paid off.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and it's all worth it. Because I'm still going. It's not done yet.
Oh, but, yeah. It's the new beginning.
It's just awesome to get my foot in the door. And especially with a program like the Brewers.
Yeah.
I have heard nothing but good things from when I got drafted by them. And I was super excited because there was, she was, it's definitely a kind of like I am lost for words still to this day about it. Like once I get my feet wet a little bit more as the years go on, but it's, I'm excited for this year. Super, super excited.
Yeah. What was that first thing you bought? Cause obviously you, drafted in the eighth round, decent signing bonus. Like what was that first maybe dumb purchase you bought where you're like, all right, I went from being a broke college kid to now I have a little bit of money in my bank.
To be honest, I haven't even spent any of it really yet. I mean, I got a new phone and a new watch, and I talked to my family about getting my dad a new truck, like, or helping him out with that. But that hasn't really happened because now I need a new car because my car is kind of falling apart. So that's going to be in the process. But I'm trying to think, what was my first? I think it was new shoes, to be honest with you.
What'd you get?
I think I went and got myself these Vans that, like, I don't know, they're not around me right now, but I got these Vans that I wanted for a while. And I just ran across them when I was in Phoenix because kind of like the whole process happened. I'm like, I can get these now. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about money anymore. And then me and the family went out in Phoenix too. We went out to dinner. That was all on the same day. Because my grandma, grandpa, my uncle, my whole dad's side's in Phoenix, so I got to celebrate with them too.
That's so cool.
Whenever I went down there. So the spring training's going to be, I have no idea how many family members are coming, but it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, that's crazy. I talked to, Cam Robinson, he's on the Brewers now. He's just got added to their 40 man. When he got drafted, he bought a mailman Jeep. A Jeep with like that you drive on the opposite side. So he was driving like European style with these huge wheels on his Jeep. That was his big purchase. Until I think he had got in a wreck or something a couple years later. But so it's people buy different things. I mean, hey, you're gonna get yourself a car. Maybe you'll get something different. But that's so cool.
Like I was actually one of the first purchases that I wanted to buy really bad was a boat.
Oh, okay.
Because the Brewers set us up right next to Cabela's, and like every day I would be walking by the boat that I wanted so bad. And I'm like, I can't do that yet. And my grandpa's like, look at that. I'm like, stop. I can't get that yet.
You're not helping out.
Because I'm a huge fisherman. Oh. I'm more of a fisherman than I am a hunter, speaking of that. But that's why I wanted it really bad.
That's crazy. That's so cool. So let's talk about real quick before we end. Heading into rookie ball, you obviously go there for a couple of weeks, about a month or so. How was that experience going from college to now you're in Arizona in rookie ball?
It was definitely everything that I didn't expect. It was more.
Like in a good way.
It was in a good way. Okay. Yeah. Cause I got down there. Like I was expecting everything to be obviously awesome. Cause my grandpa, funny story is my grandpa walked into the facility when he wasn't even supposed to. And I was coming down there 2 days later and they made a joke. They made a joke out of it that my grandpa just wanders along and he literally was wandering the whole facility.
He just walked in.
Or like, I think it was the store, I think is where he was trying to get to. And he just kind of went around the gate and I don't really remember how it got in, but it was a funny story.
Yeah.
And they told him he had to leave. But obviously once the game started in the stadium, he can go over there and watch his parent and stuff. But no, I mean, I got there and I learned everything that they had in front of me, like everything, like all the technology, all the coaches, the knowledge, the just everything. Like it's in my own hands if my career goes to crap. Because if I can't use these tools to get to the big league level, it's my fault, not anybody else's. And that's why I was like, okay, like I got everything I want right here in front of me. Like, let's utilize it. Like, I just remember like every couple of days I'd be talking to the coaches about TrackMan and my videos and stuff of what I can improve and what I need to do. And coaches were more than willing, obviously, to help and stuff. And that full month I was there, I learned a lot. And it was a really cool experience getting down there and obviously putting on a Brewer uniform whenever I had my last name on it. I was like, it's like, oh, I'm already there. Like I already made it. But no, like it's just one of those things. It's like, wow,
it's a cool
like,
moment, though.
Only if, but it was cool. Obviously I met some guys that, I played against, like Robert Moore is one of them that I pitched against.
Yeah.
I met him and I was like, oh wow. Like, hey, what's up? And then, I met some guys that I'd heard of before, and actually just recently my teammate that at UIC just signed with the Brewers. It was just kind of like,
I think, a free agent.
Now I'm gonna have him down there. He played indie ball for a year, or not for a year, for like a month or so, and then he's been ticking up in velocity ever since. Cool. So, and then the Brewers just recently gave him an opportunity. So that's going to be cool to have him there. But no, it was definitely like everything I didn't expect, but in a good way. Like, I just didn't realize how much resources that a minor leaguer has in that area. And I would say in the spring training area that I could utilize. I mean, it might be different when I get down there for spring training, because there was only what, 60, 50 of us down there when we first got down there. And now when we get down there, it's probably going to be 100+. Yeah. So it's like, we'll see how that goes. But no, it was pretty cool. It was cool to meet new people. And then I, at the same time too, one I didn't expect and normally told me that it was 90% Spanish speakers when I got down there.
Yeah, a bunch of guys from the Dominicans throwing like triple digits and.
Yeah, I was not ready for that. Like, I was thrown off a little bit. I probably should learn a little bit more Spanish myself I can talk to them and be a good teammate with them and stuff. Because some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah.
Some of them are really cool guys and stuff. And like, I just remember playing hacky sack most of the time with them and rookie ball with them. And that was cool. Like, it's just that I just learned a lot when I was down there and just seeing how much talent there is. And obviously you saw it all in college, but then once you get there, you're like, oh wow, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah. What is one thing you're looking forward to in for spring training or for this upcoming season? It's going to be your first full season, your first spring training. What is maybe one thing you're just looking forward to for this upcoming season?
I'm looking forward to get my feet wet. Just to get in there and compete and show what I got and show everybody what got me there.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to put a uniform on that has Brewers on it. And obviously I'll be in the minor league system to start out. And, but I'm just excited to get to work.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I know the journey is just starting, but I just want to see, like, I want to get there. Like, it's like, let's get going. Let's get the show on the road. Anxious. This whole off season, I've been anxious.
That's so cool. And like, once you get started and situated, we're going to have you come back on and like, we're going to have to talk about minor leagues. Cause I love talking to guys about their stories. And you're going to low A is no joke, man. There's some places in there, like it's the middle of nowhere. High A isn't, is the same way. There's a bunch of random cities you're going to be traveling to. But it's going to be a bunch of cool experiences that you're going to have. And you're going to meet a ton of cool people. Like I said, once you get to high A, dude, like I'm there. Like, we're going to have to do this in person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing too. I told a lot of my friends here in Minnesota, I was like, you guys should come out and watch if I make it to high A. And we'll see. Cause I think it's just depending how spring training goes is where I'll end up, but we'll see. I'm just excited to get started. I don't care where I end up right away. I just want to play.
Yeah, that's
just like, let's get started.
For sure. And that's a good spot to end this here. Like I said, we'll have to do this again. But I do want to thank you for coming on, Nate. It's been huge talking to you.
Yeah, no problem.
I love talking baseball. I can probably spend like 50 minutes here. I can even talk longer if no one stops me. But it's definitely, I'm excited to see what you're doing in the organization, man. I'm excited to see your career moving forward and stuff.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.